Good morning, everyone. Thank you so very much for joining us today for this period of biblical study together. This is Robert Rawson. I preach now for the Crockett Church of Christ, located up in Tate County, Mississippi, out on Highway 4 west toward the Tunica side, about 7 miles from the Interstate 55. We're located on the left side of the road, south side of the road, and we invite you to come and be a part of services with us. Our morning services at 9:30, 10:30, and again on Sunday evening at 6 p.m. We invite you to come and be a part of the service with us if you can. Bring your Bible with you. If you don't have your own copy of the Bible to bring with you, there's a copy of the Bible on each one of the pews there in the church building at Crockett. The Word of God is effective if we utilize the Word of God. Listen to the statement made in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Notice the confidence that the Father has in his word, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. As Jesus speaks to us, he tells us that his word is the word of the Heavenly Father in John 12 at verse 49. He said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. John chapter 12 and verse 48. Then went on to say, the words I speak unto you are not my own, but my Father gave me these words that I say unto you, and they are true. They're the words of truth. And thus Jesus spoke the word of the Heavenly Father to them. For you and me today to read the New Testament of our Bible, we're reading Jesus' words and the New Testament words of our Heavenly Father. When the apostles found their way to be in charge of delivering that message, according to John 14 and at verse 16, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you, Jesus said, into all truth. Whatsoever ye shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. It is the truth that the Heavenly Father came by way of the Holy Spirit to these disciples for them to go forth and continue to teach the word of the Heavenly Father. As Jesus had taught it, he said, the Spirit will come and reveal to you all things that I have said unto you, and teach you all things regarding the Father's word that he wants to be delivered. And thus on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when Simon Peter arose with the 12, he found himself being there telling them the truth. And when they said, men and brethren, we have crucified the Son of God. What shall we do? He said, repent ye. Turn away from that proud way of honoring the way of the death of the Savior. And he said, if you will do that, if you repent and be baptized for the remission of your sin, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they will be forgiven of their sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That was the truth that he taught to them, and it's the truth pertaining today. If we find ourselves in sin and wrongdoing, we've sighed about it, we don't wish to maintain a joyful spirit about what we've done that is wrong, we find a way in which we say, I'm sorry, I truly regret that that's the way I've lived, the way I've talked, the way I've done things before your presence, and I want to be forgiven of it. And how will forgiveness come about? And is baptized shall be saved. Some people deny that baptism has any part of one's salvation. But Simon Peter said this in Acts 2 and verse 38, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. We do not have remission of those sins. We do not have forgiveness of those sins. We do not have pardon for those sins until we repent and are baptized. And someone said, well, what about faith? Well, without faith, Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please God. So faith must come first. Faith must come by hearing the word of God. Romans 10 at verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so as the word of God was preached and proclaimed on that day, they believed it. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. And that day was added unto them about 3,000 souls. The scripture tells us that they did that on that day, that they responded on that day in this way. And as a result, they found a pardon from their sins, and they found a joyful spirit to have before God as they were forgiven of their sins. What about you and me these days? What about our regret for what we may have said and may have done, and how that we can be baptized into Christ and raised to walk in newness of life? That's what Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, does he not? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? I'm talking about a way of life that he says, don't live in that old way of life any longer. Don't you know that you have been freed from that way of life, that you have been pardoned from that way of life, that you've been forgiven? And so the Heavenly Father wants you to continue on in being faithful to his way. Romans 6 and verse 18, God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servant of righteousness. As we go on in life after we're baptized into the death of Christ and raised to walk in newness of life, as we go on, we desire to be in righteousness. We look for things that are right to do, right to be said, right to be forgiven. It's right for us to live that way. And thus we find ourselves following after righteousness for the rest of our days. We look forward to our meeting with the Lord in heaven above. As the time comes for us to leave this earth, we look forward to that arrival time of being in his humble presence. And as a result of that, thanking him for his measure of forgiveness in our lives, that he pardoned us and freed us from our sins, and that we have become the servants of righteousness as he has taught us in his word, it's a right thing to do. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and at verse 12, Paul writes to Timothy, let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believer in words that you say, in your manner of life that you live, in your faith that you have, in the love that you have, in the purity that you have in your heart. All those things are a part of our lives. As you read there in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, if we find ourselves not desiring to have the foolishness of life to be with us, that we live by the way of that, let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believer. If you're an example of one who believes and who practices that way of life that is good and godly and righteous, it'll be a wonderful blessing for your life. That's the way that it is. And in the scripture, it tells us that. Now, you'll be told about the sinner's prayer before you're through in denominationalism these days. You'll be told about believing in the Lord and having that sinner's prayer to be quoted and cited. Oh, it'll be cited for you to say, I'm a sinner, I realize that where I am, and I want now to be saved from that, from the penalties of that, and thus I'll find myself in the right relationship with God. Where in the scripture do you find such a statement made that freedom comes after a prayer that you offer? I'd like to see it. I'd like to know about it. I'd like to teach it on this broadcast. But I cannot see it. I cannot find it. I cannot speak it. I cannot give it out as a way of salvation to say, Lord, please forgive me, and I am thereby forgiven. It is the case that once I realize that I've done wrongdoing and sinful in my ways, I want to find a way in which I can be pardoned completely. And that is what Paul wrote there as you read that particular passage statement in Romans 6 and verse 18. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servant of righteousness. Being when made free from sin, when you obeyed that form of doctrine delivered you. Being then made free from sin. What was that form of doctrine that he talked about there in Romans chapter 6? He opened it up in the first chapter, in the first verse of that chapter, Romans 6. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into the death of Christ were raised to walk in newness of life? Don't you remember that? And thus he's thanking God there in Romans chapter 6 and verse 18, that you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servant of righteousness. You say, well, I've heard you say that before. Yes, you've heard me say this before. Several weeks ago, I made an emphasis of that and a study of that particular topic. And today, I continue to do a little reminder of that particular time in life where we can thank God that we were made free from sin and became the servant of righteousness. When you and I become servants of righteousness, we're looking for the right thing to say, the right thing to practice, the right thing to worship, the right way to go in life. We're finding a wonderful blessing of God as we are forgiven from the past life of sin and wrongdoing, and we have now peace with the Lord and a joyful way of serving Him in righteousness. Let's look back at the passage in Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2 once again. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. Mankind made his own refusal to listen to God, according to the 12th chapter of Hebrews, verses 25 through 29. Mankind, in his own peril, has refused to listen to God. Because of the humanity's willful sin, he stopped listening to the Heavenly Father, according to Hebrews 10 and verses 26 through 31. He stopped listening to God because he chose to enter into sin and wrongdoing and wanted to stay in that way. His willful sin was brought on due to his unwillingness to consider truly the deep things of God, according to Hebrews 5, verses 11 through 14. You say this book is filled with the ideas of refusing God and refusing to listen and willful sin and the unwillingness to consider what God has said on subjects. That's correct. And in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 13, the aforementioned things were brought about because of the mankind's unbelief. It is noted in Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 4, that his unbelief, perpetrated by the allowing of his grip to falter on one of the steadfast things, he failed to serve the cause of God throughout life. In the Old Testament of the Bible, we read regarding this matter that sin separated one from God. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. And sin does violate the will of God and delays our being servants of God. But God is willing to forgive us and to care for us in such a way that we can enjoy the relationship we have with Him because He loves us that much, He cares about us that much, and He wants us to repent of our sins and obey Him that we might be free from our sins. Think about that. Think about the freedom from sin. Notice that he says regarding this matter that we have a way of righteousness that we can serve in God's way. In Ephesians chapter 3, the last verse of that chapter, it tells us that God desired for you and me to always glorify God in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Glorify God where? In the church. Glorify God. Cast light upon God. Point out God as you live daily in relationship to your activities in the church throughout all ages, world without end. If you find that way of life, and go on and read in Ephesians chapter 5, the place of the church in the plan of God, and how it's the body of Jesus Christ, and He is the Savior of the body. He's the Savior of the church. And when we find ourselves in the church of our Lord, the body of Christ, we enjoy that relationship because it is a righteous relationship. It is doing the right thing. It's being the right kind of person. And therefore, as we read in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, take heed, therefore, how you hear. Let us be hearers that are not indifferent. We don't forget. We're not itching ears. We're not trying to benefit ourselves by pleasuring ourselves in life. We want to take heed, therefore, how we hear. Luke 8 and verse 18. We're to be that kind of people. We're to serve Him and cause our lives to reflect what He has said because we love to hear what He has to say. Notice in regard to this matter that others may do the worst things of life, Matthew 7 and verse 5, and how that God did not say not to all the time, but He said what to do. And notice what He says in that New Testament book of the Bible in the book of Romans in chapter 6. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Romans 6 and verse 18. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. No, that you didn't stay there, but that you obeyed from the heart. That form of doctrine delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. We're talking about a right way, and a right way to honor, and a right way to practice. And this is the fact of the matter. And if we find ourselves following God's way and doing His will from day to day, we find a way that we live that is faithful to God in His righteous way. He wants us to be that kind of person. He wants us to be that kind of servant. He wants us to be that kind of laborer for the Lord. We find out that the baptism of Jesus Christ fulfilled all righteousness. As He told John, it's necessary for us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus' baptism was important to Him, and He wanted to honor that to please His Heavenly Father. When He was coming up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away, and thus Jesus went on His way. And He went on His way rejoicing that He could serve the way of the Heavenly Father even further in His life. That's the way of life He talked about doing. It's the way of life that He honored. And it's the way of life that He wanted us to follow as well. Think about your relationship with Him. If you're still listening today and studying with us in the Bible, perhaps it is the case that you wanted to hear it further. And you wanted to hear it plainer. And thus we have this illustration to you of His way of life, that He honored all righteousness when He asked John to baptize Him. When Jesus went to John to be baptized of Him, John, knowing the lifestyle of Jesus, said, Lord, I have need to be baptized of You. I'm talking about a person who's doing right and doing good all the time and doing good for people all the time. I have need to be baptized of You. But Jesus said, no, John, do not forbid this. Because it is the case that I want to fulfill all righteousness. And thus to be baptized of you is to fulfill all right doing. And thus he finds himself being baptized of John and rejoicing in the Lord because he is there. When we find our way of life to follow, and we find a way of life that the Scripture tells us that we should follow, this is the way of life that we should honor and be obedient to the Father's will and thank the Father for His forgiveness of sin, for His hope for us for the future, for his willingness to tell us about the things that are right and good, like in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, the words that you say, the manner of life that you live, the kind of way that you go in life from day to day. In the way of the spiritual way of life, in your ego and in your spirit and in your personal view of life, you want to do what's right and good. And closes out with, finally, the word purity. Perhaps you will find yourself looking at this word in a way that you have not looked at it before.